Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today I think we have a very timely feature for this time of year because our kids are going back to school, and we're having a lot of concerns about the educational system in the United States because we're pouring billions and billions of dollars into it. Statistics suggest that we're not keeping up with the rest of the world. Many of our kids are on medication to help them perform better, and there may be a better way. Helping us out with that perspective is today's guest. She is Dr. Lynn Keefe, Health Policy Director of something called Start School Later. Lynn Keefe is a pediatrician in private practice in Florida, and she serves as the director of the child protection team that cares for abused kids in her community in Okaloosa County. And Lynn has been instrumental in working with local legislators and professional organizations in Florida and now across the nation to enact legislation to endorse a later school start time. It's a pleasure having you on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, Dr. Keefe.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for having me.
Well, frame the discussion for us. What's going on with our kids, and does it have to do with sleep deprivation?
Oh, goodness. I think what's going on with our kids in the United States is that there's been this... everything from the Department of Education at the federal level to local levels to teachers' union, just trying to figure out how we can best provide a quality education to our students in the United States as we feel a little competition and push from some of the foreign countries that seem to have better numbers. I still think that we have, I don't agree, we still have the best school system. But even in our own nation, there's things like private schools and charter schools and school vouchers. There's just been a big change in the past couple of decades on education, what's best for kids. And through all of that, there's been studies that started back in the late 90s regarding healthy students. And there's lots of regulations and rules on the school lunches and school physical education and physical recess time. And more recently, there's been a focus on the amount of sleep that students are getting. And this ties in really to the school district's decision on when to start or ring the first bell, start the first period or ring the first bell. And what has been really brought up to a focus, because it's been going on, is the slowly pushing the start times back earlier and earlier and earlier, especially for high school and middle school students across our nation. And there's a variety of reasons why these changes have been made, but what's happening and what has now been found is that there are large numbers of teens across our nation attending public schools that are sleep deprived. And the reasons for the sleep deprivation come with the unsynchronized timing of the school day as compared to the natural sleep rhythms and awake rhythms of teenagers around the world and here in the United States.
So how is the teenage brain different from the adult brain? Because, we adults, we're, pretty adaptable. If we have to get to work, super early, we do it. We just go to bed earlier. And, we seem to make up for it. But is there something unique about the teenage brain that is very susceptible to sleep deprivation or circadian rhythm problems?
Yeah, I think adults, we're flexible to some extent, but most adults are pretty set in their sleep and awake times, and we're kind of grumbly when we have to get up early or what have you or have a change. But that being said, the the sleep of humans changes throughout the lifetime. If you talk about the sleep needs of an infant, it can be up to 20 hours. Elementary school children need 10 to 12 hours of sleep. And once puberty, prepubescent, and adolescent ages, which is age 11, 12, and up through college, the children of that age need anywhere between 8.5 to 10 hours of sleep. And so adults, we need less than that. We can get by with 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Senior citizens, they'll tell you they need more. They nap, they go to bed earlier. So this circadian rhythm and sleep phases do change. So the adolescents, as some of us who have raised kids or who work with children, and more commonly we know this because of teens in our community, they don't go to bed as early as an elementary school student will or as an infant. A 7:30 or 8 o'clock bedtime is just not possible. They're not able to fall asleep. The natural hour of sleep onset is closer to 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. So if one looks at the natural sleep cycle of a teenager around the world, and this is not just America, but around the world, Korea and England and here, if you will, the studies show that the onset of sleep is 11, average is 11 p.m., and if you count on your clock arithmetic and you give it an 8-hour time, you're talking about a 7 a.m. natural wake-up time, or even 8 o'clock if you're talking about a 9-hour sleep that's recommended. So what we have here is schools are starting as early as 7 a.m., with buses is running as early as 5:45 in the morning. And if you look at that when a child is going to bed and falling asleep at 11, that is a 3-hour time taken away from sleep. Thus, we are ending up with a whole slew of weeks and weeks and weeks of school leading to sleep deprivation. And you cannot make that up on weekends. And it is detrimental to the mental and physical health of these adolescents.
And so what do the studies say are the effects of this sleep deprivation? I know that, when we were in med school, we used to pull the fabled all-nighter. We thought that the more facts mm-hmm. we crammed into our brains, the more we'd be able to regurgitate the next morning. But it turns out that's actually antithetical to learning, isn't it?
Right. The late night studying is been shown not to help with one's performance. The sleep is a time of one's 24-hour period. The sleep time is when your brain actually goes through a restful time, a rejuvenation, but there's a purging and cleansing and a washout of details and minutiae that one doesn't need, and a setting in of memories, of information, of facts, and information that was taken in during the day, and it is, if you will, set in stone, so that a well-rested mind will be able to put things together, create thoughts, remember details, understand ideas, and be able to better recall information leading to better decision-making, and if you will, performance on academic tests. So the sleep is just very, very vital to the brain development and functioning.
Well, I know that there's a whole slew of factors involved in our current reliance on medications for ever-increasing number of kids, but could childhood depression, impulsivity, or ADD, learning disabilities, be in part related to sleep disorders?
The best way to answer that in a big kind of a global throw out the right information is that I think that there will always be children that have depression. There will be children that have hyperactivity. But what I tell parents and what I've tried to, the easiest way to kind of share the information is that a well-rested child is going to be at a lowered risk for having mental health issues. They're going to have less of the hyperactivity, less of the oppositional type of irrational behaviors. Do you, I mean, we've all seen, they call it the terrible twos, the tantrums, when kids just are so exhausted that they, we used to call them just breakdowns, they're having a fit.
Mm-hmm.
They just,
right.
they, you know, when you don't,
you know it's
well,
you know it's nap time.
Well.
You know it's nap time. Parents
yeah,
know
kids
that.
Kids just act out. Little kids act out physically. Adults, ooh, we'll get headaches or we'll get grumpy and we'll make snippy remarks. Teenagers are kind of like, yeah, they know they're not supposed to act out, but you know, they just it leads to a little edginess. They're going to be less cooperative. Less agreeable to doing what is best for them, what is right for them, what they know they should do. And all of this can, you know, lead to getting to further problems. So you have a start of a vicious cycle when the kids aren't feeling good. They're less motivated to do well in school. If they're exhausted and tired, they're not going to be really eager to push for that extra push to do, you know, what the best job they can do in the classroom or on the sports field or whatever else activity they're involved in.
And what about, you know, the current, you know, I could call it an epidemic of caffeine consumption among kids, because we're seeing products being introduced to a youth market that simply didn't exist when, you know, we were younger, because I remember starting to drink a little coffee when I was in college. But there wasn't Red Bull, there wasn't Monster, there wasn't 5-Hour Energy. And yet there's evidence that kids consume large amounts of caffeine, and that may further disrupt their sleep cycles. A vicious cycle, I guess, because if they're tired, they use those things to stay alert, and then you know, they don't sleep as well.
That's exactly right. The CDC just came out and with a statement regarding this lack of sleep deprivation in the epidemic, because it is leading to both nicotine and caffeine addiction, as well as obesity. And that caffeine addiction, I mean, I think we did have, I remember Tab and Diet Coke and Coke, and I mean, there were caffeinated sodas or soft drinks, but and of course coffee and tea, but these double dose, triple, you know, quadruple dose caffeine products were not available. I remember maybe like at truck stops seeing some of the stuff for
right.
sleepy drivers, but it really wasn't around in the vending machines and all of the stores that these kids have access to. And it's actually becoming sort of a norm to have these high-energy stimulant drinks around, almost like a Gatorade. You know, it's just something kids drink. And it all starts with this being plucked out of a deep sleep, 2 or 3 hours before they're supposed to be, and they're supposed to be alert and ready to learn. And those kids, I think, are just physically trying to keep up. And, you know, that leads, this caffeine leads to high blood pressure, it leads to a sugar high, and then they crash and they'll take another one, and it becomes a very, you know, it is addictive. They cannot get through a day without it. I don't know if you ever tried giving up coffee, but it is a headache, and these kids can't—they get to where they can't live without it. It's similar to the nicotine addiction with
Indeed.
The cigarettes. But
is there a linkage between sleep deprivation and kind of a metabolic slowdown that predisposes to obesity and diabetes? Because we're seeing simultaneously with the sleep deprivation. I mean, again, we can't blame it all on sleep
right.
deprivation, but maybe it's a factor.
No, you can't, because it's tied into, you know, all socioeconomic factors, such as families not staying at home to eat together because there's, you know, usually a two working family, and the dinner's not being able to be prepared, so we grab a fast food and we're on the run, and it's that is linked to it. But sleep, if you think about it, when you're sleeping, your heart rate drops, your blood pressure, your temperature, and your metabolism slows down. It's not a hibernation slowdown, but it is of similar has similarities to that. Your body does go to its lowest of functions when you're sleeping. And so part of that whole function is your endocrine. The endocrine is like chemical messengers that are being sent all over your body to call for hunger or low sugar or the need for thirst or whatever, you know, fluid. And so that itself has a circadian rhythm. And when it is jolted into wake up and go, when it's not supposed to, that whole hunger satiation is off. So the kids generally will not feel hunger if they're up before 7 or 8. And in addition to not having enough time, because they're just trying to get there when they have to at the last minute before the bell, they're not eating, and then they end up grabbing and eating and snacks and high-energy drinks and high-calorie, you know, what do you want to call them, energy bars or you know, protein bars
or whatever. Just for a quick energy lift kind of thing.
Themselves. So you don't have the healthy, balanced meals that would be more prevalent if kids at least were able to start with a breakfast in the morning, because that definitely has been shown to, you know, be a great kickstart to anybody's day. So the whole obesity epidemic is linked to this metabolic syndrome, where these kids are on this high sugar, high sugar, high sugar, and the insulin can't keep up, and then it just never normalizes, leading to a constant need to eat. And it's just a part of this, you know, really there is such a balance and beauty to the human body and what it does in a 24-hour period. There's movement, there's exercise, there's sleep, and there's eating. If we do not take care of all three of those parts, it's not going to run well. And this is what happens. Everything is so affected by sleep. Your immune system, your, you know, cardiovascular system, your digestive system, all of it. And when one cuts out the hours that are needed, the consequences start. And this is what we're seeing. It's accumulation of this with this generation of teens.
Okay, well, we've sort of laid out the problem. The problem is sleep deprivation. We divide these podcasts into two parts. And in part two, I want to take a look at a potential solution. StartSchoolLater.net is a website that is kind of sleep central for this concept, that we need to afford kids a different schedule that enables them to get better sleep. And our guest today, Dr. Lynn Keefe, is the health policy director of Start School Later. And in part two, we're going to talk about what's actually being done. This is a national movement, and some of these changes are actually being implemented. We'll take a look at the feasibility of this, whether there are any documented benefits, what are some of the obstacles to implementation of a Start School Later program, and maybe also a call to action for activism on the part of parents and community members to effect some changes that could make a big difference for our kids. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest again, Dr. Lynn Keefe, will be right back with part two of today's discussion of Start School Later. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.